Joining us today on the reverse stick is Pablo Mendoza from ahockeyworld.net. If you view anything online with regard to hockey, whether it be through the social media channels or you search something through Google, it's very hard to miss ahockeyworld.net. So it's great to have Pablo on the show today. Welcome to the reverse stick.
Thank you very much. Very excited to have a word with you guys. Really, really interested in doing this.
Now, Pablo, tell us a little bit about A Hockey World and also, you know, what your inspiration is for it.
Well, there was 2 years ago, A Hockey World started 2 years ago. And it started because there was so much valuable information about hockey and in terms of, I don't know, perhaps pictures, videos, coaching videos, interviews. And they were a little bit, you know, spread around internet, and if you wanted to find something, you have to go and do the search for it. So I said to myself, you know, I see all these other websites from other sports or other industries that what they do is they find something, they put it easy for people to find it, and of course always with the permission of the person that created that content, always giving credit to that person. But my main goal was to create something that was easy for people to find, and a website that the content creators will say, you know what, if this article, this drill that I created gets picked by A Hockey World, I can reach more people. And that was one of the main goals. The other one was a personal one, because as I'm a hockey coach, I'm a hockey coach and also an FIH Hockey Academy educator, I was like, you know, I need to have easy access to all this information. So I use it personally for my personal use. I go to A Hockey World sometimes and I say, okay, you know what? How about I need to coach a dribbling exercise tomorrow? I'm going to do a site search for dribbling and I'm going to get like, you know, 10, 20, 30 drills that people all around the world created them, and perhaps I use them. So for me, it was a personal goal to have it for my personal use and as well to help others to connect.
I think that's a fantastic sentiment, and it's something we've spoken about on the podcast before, is that we're all working really, really hard at our game, all four corners of the world, and all developing different training programs and strategies and all this different stuff. And in the main, it's volunteers that are doing it. So if we can make it easier for all those volunteers around the world to work together and share ideas, then, geez, that's got to be a win-win situation, isn't it?
Correct, yes. And also for me, I mean, from my business side, I mean, I'm also, I have a master in international business. So I'm thinking that in the next 5 years, especially now with the Pro League coming in 2019, I think that hockey as a marketplace, it has to grow. And it's a good thing that every year we see new hockey brands coming out and new projects. You know, everybody has like, hockey is kind of becoming like an entrepreneurial sport, you know, with all this innovation, training tools. So in the back of my mind, I was like, there has to be a big website that sooner or later the companies are going to say, you know, I can trust this guy. This guy has this reach. This website is known around the world. So perhaps I can get my products advertised there. I can get a review. I can get an article or something. And for me, from the business point of view, it was a way also to help brands to get their products out there. So every now and then, almost every week, I find a new product, something that perhaps a little company in Australia, in Argentina, in Netherlands just came out, you know, and I put it there. So last week, I found like a dining table that was actually a tactical board for coaches.
Yes, yes.
And so it was the size of a dining table, like a picnic table. I said, like, this is fantastic. So I'm going to put it out there. And actually, we made a twist of it because it was not like only a coaching tool, but it looks like a cool picnic table, you know. So it became really popular. And I'm sure that company probably got a lot of visits and inquiries out of that. So that was also the business point of view.
So give us an idea of who's looking at the website. You know, what countries are looking at the website? Where's the viewership? And, you know, just on the quiet, you could let the potential advertisers know as well.
Well, it's kind of overwhelming, because when I first started the website, it was March 2015, and I said, you know, I'm going to give it 1 month, perhaps 2 months. And if in 2 months I don't get 10,000 visitors, that's it. You know, it's going to be another website. You know, I'm going to, that's it. I'm not going to waste my time on that. And actually, in the first 15 days, I had 20,000 unique visitors. And I was like, okay, this is going somewhere.
Wow, yeah.
And right now, after 2 years, we have more than 1 million, 1.5 million unique visitors. And they are from all over the world. Of course, I have the Spanish site that is mainly Argentina and South America. But the English site, the main market is actually, or the main visitors, is they come from Australia first, then UK, South Africa, USA, Netherlands, and you know, and many other countries that perhaps the mass of hockey players or hockey population is lower, but still is very popular over there.
Is there anywhere which is kind of surprising to you that there's some good hockey interest from, barring any bots that are trawling the sites?
No, I mean, I am extremely surprised with South Africa. Like, I have never had the chance to go there. It's a place that I always wanted to go. I have many friends from there. But every week I receive emails and messages that they're asking me, like, they know me. They not only know the website, but they know Pablo Mendoza. And I'm like, how is this possible? That's so cool, you know? And I really love that. But it also helped me to reconnect with a lot of my hockey friends from around the world after traveling so much, you know, and they're like, oh, Hockey World is, you are the creator of a Hockey World. I'm like, yeah, like, that's so cool. So for me, it's actually very encouraging to listen to all this because it keeps me motivated to keep on doing it.
Now, we spoke to Taf Ahmed from the Hockey Family in last week's show. And, you know, Taf is the main man there with the website and the social media and does everything on top of all of other life's challenges that are thrown at him, both with hockey and otherwise. Is everything the same? That's the same with you? You do everything with the site and the social media?
Yeah, actually, Taf is one of the first people that I connected with because the Hockey Family started almost at the same time as we did. And we were bouncing off ideas, you know, like, this might work, this might not work, like, what was your experience in this short time, and so on. Right now, I started doing everything on my own. I'm a self-taught person, to be honest, so, you know, like, I said, okay, I know how to build websites since the dawn of internet, but I said, okay, I want to build something that is, like, going with the current times, so I had to start from zero, like learning how to program, learning the best way to engage with social media. And I consume so much information just to be informed of the best practice on that. So, yeah, I started doing everything. Right now I have a team of people working together, and I always have people willing to help and to collaborate. But besides of developing the stories that we do on the website, we also have now like a travel company to receive teams from Argentina. It's from a Hockey World. It's just a different branch. So that is travel.hockeyworld.net. We also have now we started pushing harder the advertising program. So we're getting rid of all the Google AdSense and all the internet general, you know, advertisement spots that they are just bothering people. So we're trying to connect. Yeah, they actually bother me as well. Oh, so we're trying to get hockey brands to connect with us. So we install a system where, you know, it's not like just you go ahead, you put the banner and you forget about it. No, what we do is we try each month to review the amount of clicks and the traffic that we generated for the advertiser. And we try to launch campaigns and we do a lot of sponsored content, not commercial, but, you know, like, okay, perhaps, I don't know, this company Argentina just came out, is going to come out soon on social media. They come out with a new stick to do goalkeeping training. So instead of just putting the banners out there, what we do is we create the content and we say, you know, with this stick, you can train this and this and this, and you have these three drills that we just created from a Hockey World. We're trying to engage people that way.
I think there needs to be an understanding, and I'm pretty sure there is an understanding from the hockey community, that if we want to have what's seen as the norm with other sports, so that's websites like yourselves, that's podcasts like ours, that's things like the Hockey Family, all positive things for the support that, for the sport that bring benefits to the end user, then I don't think people mind having subtly placed advertising which is relevant and they might actually be interested in. It's a reality, isn't it?
Yes, and besides, I'm so in love with our sport, not only for what it is, but also for the opportunity that this is a sport that I think is going to make a big hit very, very soon in terms of the size of the market and the money and the sponsors that move. Clearly, the FIH are doing they are doing a wonderful job, but with the EHL, the IHL, the Australian Hockey League now, since 2 years ago, bringing India to play in, teams from Malaysia, the South Africa Premier Hockey League as well. You know, so it's a very exciting time for our sport, and I think that all these innovations that are coming out, they're definitely going to help. Like, football hasn't changed. They're still discussing the video ref, and we have been playing with video ref for so long. You know, I think that everything that we can contribute, as you said, from, for example, Hockey Family, you guys with the podcast, that there were, I don't think there were podcasts out there. If somebody tried, they like did like two or three and they gave up, you know. So with all this push of not only from the FIH and the big leagues, but also from these individual pushes that we're doing, I think we're definitely helping the sport to get higher than before, like than ever before.
Yeah, that's it. And I think if you love the game, you're foolish not to embrace what's happening. And it is quite indie, very independent. And but the people behind it are all very well-meaning to, you know, really want to push the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this is perhaps a curious story. Like, 2 years ago, I was talking to Simon, you know, the owner from OVO. And they have been dominating the market since they changed how to, you know, protect a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But he was still like, we don't want to kill each other with the other companies. This is a friendly competition in the marketplace because we're still a hockey family. I love the name of the Hockey Family because it is what it is.
Yes.
You go to anywhere in the world and you're going to make friends. You know, you're going to know someone over there even if you don't know the language. And, I mean, after being so many leagues in so many countries, you know, you still have like this perhaps social leagues that people from different parts of the world, they're part of one team, and we all still have like that common social denominator of the sport. So I mean, I think that it's a very exciting time for hockey.
Pablo, you mentioned the languages, and one of the problems we have, one of the problems we perceive we have is that we're English language and we can't breach over to people that don't speak English. One of the great things you've done with your website is it is available in these different languages, and it brings everybody far closer together.
Yeah, definitely. The thing is that the language of internet is English, whether we like it or not. I mean, I speak Spanish and French as well, and a little bit of Italian, and
if you want
to get to the no, but what I mean is, like, you want to study something, you know, if you don't dominate the English, unfortunately, you're going to have to wait until the translation. And sometimes the translation is not as pure as it should be. So, I mean, I don't know, like, the language barrier is a thing, but I don't think that it's necessarily something that is going to block our communications between countries. I think it's something that actually, it is funny, if you put a person that speaks English with a person that doesn't, but they play hockey, somehow they still communicate. And that is wonderful.
Yes.
There's certainly a language of the field as well, and you can probably just do it with gesticulations of the arms and tone of the voice.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
You know if a man's like, open for a pass, whether he's whatever the language he's speaking.
Yeah, you know, and the other funny thing for me, I mean, or amazing actually, it's like perhaps at least in my personal experience, I meet someone from another part of the world, but we share hockey, we share the language, let's say. There's always one person that we know in common. Always. Like, I don't know, somehow, you know, oh, yeah, I met that guy, yeah, we were in the World Cup and we had a beer, and then, oh, yeah, he called me for 3 years. I'm like, wow. So, I think that the big challenge here is that hockey is going to continue to grow. We need to keep these value things, you know, this unwritten laws that we have, this social behavior that we have, because we are still a family. Our sport is known to be a family in every country. So I hope we don't lose that, even if the competition gets tougher or more professional.
What do you think the magic is there? Because I asked Taff the same thing last week. What is this thing that hockey has that I don't know whether it's just we perceive it because we're part of the game and hockey is our thing, but it seems to be a unique hockey thing.
I don't know. I really cannot put it in words. But for instance, you know that the Argentina won the gold medal, right? So now these guys, this team, they're all celebrities here in Argentina, like huge celebrities, because people are really big fans of the sport. So they might go on the street and they might get autographed, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I played with that guy for like 10 years, like since I'm 5 years old. I know him. Like, and now they're all celebrities, you know? So, like, when you talk to someone outside the sport and you're saying, like, yeah, yesterday I was having a coffee with, the captain of the team.
Yeah.
Like, you were having a coffee with him. Yeah. What's the big deal? Like, you know? So I think it's kind of cool that we still remain the same, even though the sport is growing. And I think that that is the goal. I think that is mainly the push and the energy that we have for the love of the game. You know, I think that even if you ask top players that they are on the media and they are very popular, they will tell you, like, you know, when I go back to my club where it all started, I still like to sit down at the clubhouse, look at the turf, watch a team, play with the kids, you know. So I think that that is the thing, the love for hockey.
Yeah, there's... Well, what you've just said, those last couple of words there, is about the hockey family and about having family around you, whether you're taking your actual family into the club or whether the club is your second family. And certainly, my clubhouse is my second home. I've got a Google map thing that happens if I come within 500 metres of the clubhouse. My wife gets an email automatically to let her know that I'm there. And she knows I'm safe.
That's cool.
Yeah. And she knows that I'll get home eventually. But I'm in a safe space, and that's the thing. And whether I've got the kids with me or not, it's that wider family thing, and I echo everything you say there.
I think that that is the main thing, that we enjoy what we do, definitely, and we don't necessarily for instance, let's put it this way, the people that are professionals out of this and they can live out of this, they're perhaps the 10% out of the 90% of all the hockey population in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm talking like high school players, high school coaches, volunteer coaches, like they're not professional, but they're still there, you know? So I think that even the people that have the chance to make money out of the sport, they still have this spirit that they started with, you know, being amateur people or non-professional people. And they still have this spirit inside of them, which is amazing for us.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, from my experience, a lot of these guys feel lucky. Know they're lucky, but also have worked really bloody hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
What about your personal game, Pablo? When did you last have a stick in your hand?
No, constantly. The thing is that I knew that I was a better coach than a player. my father, but it's a family thing. My father, he is actually an FIH master coach and FIH Hockey Academy trainer and the manager of coaching of the Pan Am Hockey Federation. So I remember when I was a kid, I would love to go and play with his, like, the coaching board, you know, like they had magnets, and that was, I love to play with that. And he would like, no, don't play with that. You're going to lose the magnets, you know? So coaching for me has been very natural. And I first started playing actually in Australia. I lived in Perth for 2 years. Yeah, I did. So my father used to play for YMCA before they became YMCC, right?
Oh, dear. Well, Terry Walsh is on. Terry Walsh's era, yeah.
Yeah, so, so I was playing Minky Hockey over there, and that was the first time I started playing. And then, well, I continued when we came back to Argentina, of course, in San Fernando in my club. And I think that I started coaching when I was 16, 17 years old. And I don't know, like, for me, it was pretty amazing. And having my father, it was very easy for me to get in touch with top coaches, you know. So perhaps I was 17 years old and I was sitting in a room listening to Mark Lammers talk about his experience with Holland. So that was pretty amazing. And that definitely pushed me to coach. But I play from time to time. Right now, I dedicate myself to coaching, basically.
Pablo, if you're looking for a game, you should join my team, because come half time, we're all coaches.
Yeah.
So have you've been in a coaching role recently in club hockey at home?
Yeah. After 10 or 12 years of traveling a lot, I left Argentina, I think, in 2003, I guess. I was coaching in USA, in Ohio State. University, I coach in Barbados at Colombier School. I coach, where else, in France at Cambrai Hockey Club. Can't remember so many places. But I decided to come back to Argentina.
Does that mean there's so many places you were so good or you were so bad?
No, I loved it. I loved it. No, so good. I miss actually being on the road, to be honest. I'm probably going to do it very soon again because, I mean, I love to travel, especially for hockey, so I've been in the same place now for almost a year, and it's kind of challenging, but it's fine as well. It's a different part of my life. But right now I'm coaching at my club in San Fernando, yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, that, I mean, all the places that hockey's been able to take you, Pablo, you must feel very privileged.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the good thing is that, you know, perhaps besides Argentina, I didn't coach in top leagues like Australia, Holland, or I don't know, Belgium. But I'm still young. I'm just 35 years old. So for a coach, you know, I should be still playing. But the good thing of being in so many different places is picking all the cultural things and all the coaching styles and all the playing styles. But mainly I think that is learning the culture of the place and how the hockey players are in the different societies. So for me, it's like I was able to learn a lot from all these places. And I think that it has helped me also in my professional career side of marketing and business, of having this multicultural background. So I'm very, very happy. I'm very proud of what I did, traveling so much.
Well, it's obviously reflected through hockeyworld.net. You see everything from throughout the globe on the website there. So people can find you at the site there, but they can also find you on the various social media channels. Do you want to let us know where people can find you?
Yeah. So everything they handle is at A Hockey World altogether. I even put a WhatsApp link on the website, and from time to time I get messages, and I just love to talk to people, you know. Like, I don't have a lot of time, but I always try to reply the messages. And the same with the emails. I reply every email that I receive. But for me, it's a way to still have these connections with people from other countries and different cultures. So for me, it's a lot of fun to do this. I really enjoy what I do.
I think you're a lucky fella, Pablo. And what you're doing is great for the game. And all thanks to you for having done it.
I'm really lucky that I wanted to do something, you know. I wanted to do something like from 10 years ago. I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know if it was going to be a YouTube show or something. Like, I had to find what I wanted to do, but I wanted to make an impact and help the sport. So I tried to do it really hard, and I'm going to keep on doing it. Like, it's still growing. We didn't reach the peak, and the big challenge here is going to be how we adapt what we're doing in a hockey world to the new technologies. So, for instance, the beginning, like, I was not very friendly with Instagram. I didn't like it too much. We started pushing a lot now of content on Instagram. But, you know, like, Instagram has been growing a lot. Twitter has been going down. Facebook is kind of, you know, there. They're never going to disappear, but they're still, like, not as big as it used to be before in different countries. So for me, the challenge is going to be how we stay relevant when all the technology and the trends changes. And we're going to be there. Somehow we're going to do it.
Well, look, we're going to watch how you're doing it and just follow what you're doing, because you seem to be doing everything right with it, Pablo. We wish you all success with it. And as we talked off air before, we'd love to get you back on in a few weeks' time and talk a bit more about Pan Am hockey and, in particular, Argentinian hockey. I think hockey in Argentina has grown and grown and grown and obviously had huge success over recent years. But still, the outside world only knows a little bit about those players that go and play overseas in professional leagues and don't really know much about what goes on in the heart of Argentinian hockey. So we really look forward to speaking to you about that.
For sure. Looking forward to that.
That's great. Cheers, Pablo. Great to talk.
Thank you very much.